This call is being recorded.
Welcome everyone to our weekly training call. Well, tonight's call is particularly special and important to Kevin and I because this gentleman really played an enormous role in shifting our belief around the profession of network marketing. I'm very proud now today to say that I am a professional network marketer, but that wasn't always true. When I was a federal crown attorney, and before that a police officer, and of course Kevin was a police officer as well, we never thought there would come a day that we didn't say, yeah, I'm a lawyer, I'm a police officer. We didn't see a day that we would say we are professional network marketers and that we're so proud of that. And I became really attached to my profession because, of course, I spent 10 years in post-secondary education between graduate school and law school and undergrad, accumulating all of that experience so that I could work as a lawyer. And as a network marketer, you don't have all of that. You can just start with zero experience. And our special guest tonight has a really remarkable bio. And I wanted to share just a few highlights with you. There's much more, but we could turn this entire call into his bio. As of now, he has around 40 years as a professional network marketer. That's an incredible amount of experience. And he began as a chicken chopper. You know, we all start somewhere, and that's where his career began before he called himself a professional network marketer. He was a professional chicken chopper. And at 22 years of age, he started network marketing. Now, I read once, and Richard maybe will go over a little bit of this with us, that he wanted to quit hundreds of times during that first year, but he didn't. He didn't give up. And within 3 years, he had 30,000 active business partners in his network marketing business. At 28 years of age, he was earning over $40,000 a month, and he made his first million before he was 30 years old. At 37, and this is remarkable, guys, featured on the cover of Success Magazine, and that particular issue outsold every other issue in that magazine's 100-year history. That's incredible. Think of the people that you see on the cover of Success Magazine. It blows my mind. And since then, he has become a very sought-after trainer and speaker, so we're honored to have him on our call this evening. He's the owner of an incredible company called Life Matters, a network marketing company. He's also a senior member of the Direct Selling Association's Ethics Committee, which is huge. That's a big deal for me that he's a part of that, and one of the things that I find so inspiring about Richard. And of course, he's married to his best friend, Kimmy, who is a network marketing rock star in her own right and developed quite an incredible business long before she had the good fortune to meet Richard. So together, they are an incredible dynamic duo. Now, he is the best-selling author of a couple of books that I want to mention. The first one is Mach 2, The Art of Vision and Self-Motivation. And there's an entire workshop around that book. If you haven't read the book, it is definitely the next best thing to attending the Vision Workshop live. When Caleb was 10 years old, he and I went to Richard's Vision Workshop. It was fantastic. Accomplishes so much more than just with your network marketing business. There's a lot to learn. We all know how important personal development is in network marketing. So great book. If you haven't read it, please do. And we're going to touch a little bit more tonight on the four-year career. And as I mentioned, this book was pivotal in the belief level really accelerating and going through the roof for Kevin and I around network marketing. When we read this book, everything just started to click. So I want to welcome to the line, because like I said, I could talk all night long about this incredible gentleman, Richard Blissbrook. Richard, welcome. Thanks so much for making time. I know you were just at an incredible event, Eric Worre's event in Vegas. You and Kimmy were speaking there. You've got so much on the go. So again, thanks for making time for us tonight.
Oh, my pleasure, Pam. I love you and Kevin so much. I love your team and love your company. An honor to be here. And yeah, we just did roll out of Vegas. It was the amazing weekend. About 2,500 in the audience and maybe another 2,500 on live stream. I didn't talk because this was a women-only event. They did allow men to attend, but it was only about 25 amazing network marketing women that took the stage one after the other and shared their stories, and Kimmy did that. Her generic event ever, and she had a great time, knocked it out of the park.
Well, Kimmy does do, she's amazing. I love to be able to call her a friend, and also an incredible example of what's possible in network marketing. And between the two of you, you've seen lots of changes, lots of shifts, and probably even being at that event, the caliber of speakers, the caliber of people attracted to our profession. And I mentioned, I hope I didn't give away too much in saying, you know, 40 years in this profession, but you know, where do you see the biggest shift or change, or has there been a change? Maybe I'm just making an assumption here. In the profession of network marketing, what do you see as any sort of changes, either good or bad, that have happened for us?
Well, the biggest monumental change has been in the credibility of our profession. I did a little project earlier this year researching and found 700 U.S.-based and Canadian-based, so North American-based network marketing companies. There's probably about 2,000 worldwide. But, you know, if you go back 20 years ago, there probably was 50 to 60 to 70, and there was only maybe one or two of those that were multi-billion dollar companies. And then when you move over into the education and training and empowerment department, probably the first 10 years of my career, there weren't any books about network marketing. There wasn't any generic training. There was company training, but so, you know, now there's hundreds of books about network marketing and hundreds of companies. And, you know, I think there's something like in the United States, there's about 7 or 8 multi-billion dollar companies. Around the world, there's probably 20. You look at the people that endorse our profession, that keynote speak at national conventions, you know, it's everything from ex-presidents to, you know, the Warren Buffetts of the world. And so that's the big monumental change is, you know, 20, 30, 40 years ago, we were accused of being a pyramid scheme, and probably we were in a lot of cases. And today people may make that accusation, but occasionally, but the credibility of what we're doing is just over the top. There's just, you know, corporate America, the finance world has found us, corporate America has found us, celebrities have found us, athletes have found us, some of the most elite nutritional people in the world have found us. And most importantly, everyday mom and dad, people that are looking to make that extra $500 a month or more, maybe that's all they can see in the beginning is $500 a month, but $500 a month for 90% of North Americans would change their financial world. And they're discovering us and discovering the model and discovering products that they fall in love with and they get results with. And, you know, as we all say, they end up recommending whether they're a distributor or not. So it's a very natural thing to do.
Well, I'm glad you brought up the $500 because that was my big goal. And Kevin, we wanted to replace his overtime and it was $500. That was our enormous network marketing goal. We thought if this business can actually do that, we're set for life. That was, you know, we weren't dreaming of quitting our jobs or dreaming of all of the things that we've been able to do since then. All we were looking for is that little shift. And I'm so glad you brought that up because I think sometimes we all hear, you know, the big hyped up overnight success, $1 million by tomorrow, new cars, jet planes, yacht trips, you know, infomercial kind of thing. And the fact that you're a senior member of the ethics committee for the Direct Selling Association speaks volumes. And how have you seen that shift? You touched on it, you know, with we're attracting a different caliber of people. Now, is that because of the books and the training, or is it just more mainstream? How do you see that working its way out?
I think it's just an evolution. Like in any organization, the more success you have, the more success you have. So somebody's starting out, and maybe they have a team of four or five people. Everybody's, in the living room, kind of looking at each other, asking themselves, "Gee, is this going to work?" And that's the belief level at that point is, a little tough. You can't really base it perhaps on results. You have to base it more on faith and vision. But when you get 40 or 50 people in a room, that screams something entirely different. This is working, and it is going to continue to work. And I think, just like any organization, it takes time. So network marketing has been around since the late 1940s. The first 30 years of the profession was reckless. And, we just didn't find our way probably until the 90s. And we've just matured and been just way more successful. And that the machine now is producing so much credibility that people are taking a look. The ethical shift is really only, I'd say about 10 years old. I'd have to say we're still, people like you and me and Kevin and our companies are still the minority, perhaps, in the way we look at building our businesses, where we don't look at prospects and we don't look at distributors as tools to make us money. We look at them as people whose passions and visions we're here to serve, but that group of people, those people that are interested in telling the truth responsibly and empowering people and serving people and dialing down the hype, we're in the minority, but we're growing powerfully. That's a powerful movement inside the network marketing community, and people are very attracted to that. Perhaps it's a different crowd than is attracted to, let me show you how much money you can make and what kind of car you can drive and how little work you have to do. There's a crowd that's attracted to that dialogue too. And because network marketing is such a powerful economic model, just the model itself, part of why I wrote the four-year career was to bring to light the power of the economic model, where when everybody in the organization can enroll, recruit, hire, if you will, new salespeople, that ushered in, whether they knew it or not, that ushered in compounding and geometric progressions to the growth dynamic. And that makes our business model immensely powerful from a growth standpoint, and anytime you have something that's that powerful that you can make money with, you're going to attract the people that are just all about money. But the white hats, if you will, the people that are here to serve and build responsibly and ethically, that's a very powerful growth component of our profession.
And you talk a lot about that in the four-year career as well. And you mentioned, earlier that word pyramid, and everybody seems to just get so worked up about that. When I first started in my business, I was known as Pyramid Pam around the courthouse. And, at first it's kind of funny, but then it gets a little irritating. And being, as any lawyer would do, I read all the case law. I was looking at criminal code in Canada. And then as I became more involved in network marketing, I started looking at American law. And of course, there's a lot of negative press that can come up around network marketing. And some of it, as you mentioned, we invite ourselves and others just because it's easy and it makes for interesting copy. But I have to say, in all of the case law I've read, all of the commentary that I have read, there's not been a better definition than in your book, The Four-Year Career. And I love this. The true test of a legitimate network marketing company is whether most of the product is sold to consumers who are not earning any commissions or royalties from the opportunity. That is That's a real business. And I love that definition, that distinction between a pyramid, which is simply just recruiting for opportunity. We are, you know, selling a legitimate product or service. And I thought that's a brilliant definition, and it makes it so easy for everyone to understand. But network marketing has much more to offer, right? You talked a little bit about the income potential, but where do you see, you know, as a business model, how do you see network marketing being so beneficial? You know, there's so much that you touch on in the book as far as, you know, flexibility and freedom and et cetera. Can you, you know, give us a few of your top, if you had to do the top checklist of why this business model is really so brilliant?
The most compelling for me, Pam, is that anybody can launch this business without leaving their full-time career mm-hmm. or job, mm-hmm. without, you know, taking out a big loan of capital that they put at risk. I mean, almost any opportunity that is legitimate, somebody can start for $500 to $1,000. And I'm not suggesting everybody has that laying around, but, you know, if somebody really wants to do something about their economic future, their life, they want to change their life, they want to improve their life, they can get their hands on $500 to $1,000. I mean, you know, look at how many times they've done it in the past 10 years for what we would call depreciating assets, you know, junk that's laying around their house, mm-hmm. no use to them anymore. So, you know, you can invest in an appreciating asset, which is you and your business. And you don't have to leave your job or your career or whatever it is you do. You can do it alongside of it. Sometimes you can totally integrate it into what you're doing now. So that's one huge advantage of this business. Another huge, often overlooked advantage is, you know, if you take somebody in on your team, somebody that's looking to join your team, anywhere on your team, Pam, they have instant access, for example, on this call, to being mentored and coached by a multimillionaire distributor, mm-hmm. somebody that's probably done far more, I mean, 100 times more than the new person is looking to accomplish. So somebody's looking to join your team and build a business. Maybe they want to earn $500 or $1,000 a month. Well, how cool is it, how profound is it that they get to be mentored by somebody who's done that and way, way more? And all their full-time job is to teach other people how to do exactly what they've done. So, you know, if you go into any other business, you're going into a competitive model. Network marketing mm-hmm. is a collaborative model. And that's a profound difference. You know, what would you have to spend in most other business models to hire a coach who would actually tell you all of their secrets? You know, mm-hmm. most of them won't, because you end up competing with them. So collaborative versus competitive is huge. And, you know, the third for me, which just I think it just trumps everything around, you know, wealth building and money making, and that is that what you build in network marketing is not just income. You know, it's $500 a month is not just $500 a month. I mean, if you build it right, if you build it with the right people, you serve people, you build it with a great product that people actually fall in love with, a product that produces results, when you get to $500 a month, what you want to look at is, where is that income coming from? And it's probably coming from a small team of people who are out to accomplish the same thing that you're accomplishing. They're looking to earn $500 a month, and it's the customers of all of those people. So, you know, it's different for every person and every team and every company, but at some point in your build, that income starts to move from linear income, from earned income, to residual, or what I like to call asset income, which means if you choose to, or you have to for some reason, not work your business for a month or two, you still get paid. Now, where in the world do you get to do that? Not even in traditional business do you get to not show up to your business for a few months in a row and even have a business left? So the wealth that people can build in network marketing, even at the lower levels of income, $1,000 a month is worth, you know, $500,000 as an asset. Mm-hmm. So not only are you building income as you go along the path, but you're building wealth, you're building net worth. And if you compare it to investing in the traditional investments, like look at what somebody has to do to build up $500,000 worth of net worth in real estate. Look at how much you have to put at risk, how much you have to borrow. Look at the negative cash flow that you have to cover and the number of years that you have to cover it. And you have to be really smart or really lucky to buy the right properties and buy them in the right cycle, because real estate is always cycling up or down. You know, what somebody has to do to build up $500,000 of net worth in real estate or in the equities, which would be investing in the stock market, you know, that's a 15, 20, 25-year project, and you either have to be brilliant or really lucky. And you have to have extra cash flow every month. You're going to invest in equities. You got to invest $1,000 or $2,000 a month every month. And in real estate, you're going to have to do that to cover your negative cash flow or to build up your down payments. So in terms of building wealth, there's nothing like it where you can turn a $1,000 investment and maybe 10 hours a week for the first, you know, year or two into something that's really has immense value.
And I wish
the last just the last piece I'd say about it, Tam, and I'm sure you probably will talk about this later, is it goes hand in hand in network marketing that if you're going to be successful, you're going to learn a lot more about you in the next 4 years than you probably have in your entire life. You're going to learn a lot more about other people. You're going to learn a lot about you. You're going to develop your education and your skill set, the way you think, the way you talk, the way you listen, the way you manage your money and finances. There's a built-in personal and professional development program here that is extraordinary. And so for people who want to learn and get better, be better people, this is a beautiful enterprise to do that.
I wish we could have had this call years ago, because Kevin and I tried buying a franchise, we bought real estate, we lost so much money, and I tell you the headaches, how many times we fantasized about putting balaclavas on and breaking into our tenant's house in the middle of the night. I can't even go there. But
right, yeah.
Since we're both police officers at the time, it wouldn't have worked out so well for us. But it's incredible how skeptical and suspicious people are over a smaller investment in network marketing than they are at those huge investments and the enormous amount of risk that's brought with all of those other things. And one of the things, and I know we won't talk much about it tonight, but in your book, you also touch on the fact that, hey, you know, if you are making an extra income with your network marketing business, and we touched on this in your vision workshop as well, you don't have to just go blow all that money on Louis Vuitton purses and shoes and things. You can actually take that money and invest it in those equities, in the real estate, in those long-term investments that can add to your financial security when you start treating this like a real business. And of course, reinvesting into yourself by taking courses and personal development. And I love what you said, that's not just about the income. Success is not simply measured in income or star levels or pins or rubies or diamonds or whatever your rank structure is. It's measured in that personal development. I know I speak for Kevin and I. We both had, you know, several years of undercover police work behind us where we thought we knew a lot about people, because you live with people as a drug dealer. You really get to know people. It's a life or death kind of thing. And in network marketing, I can honestly say I learned much more about myself, much more about other people and what their needs are and the ability to listen. Now, Richard, can you touch on some of those specific skills that a person needs, you know, on their personal development quest or the specific skills that you've seen help people in network marketing, aside, of course, from our business skills? What are the more soft skills, the personal skills you see?
First and foremost would be to develop an attitude which is just a conversation that you have with yourself as a human being relative to what you want out of life. So the first conversation is, you know, developing that skill, that muscle of ambition. So, you know, if you could like peek into the inner thoughts of a lot of people, the conversation that they would have with themselves around ambition, like, I want a better life, I want to be healthier, I want to be wealthier, I want to have more fun, I want to have more freedom. Many people have a hard time even having that conversation, even exploring it. They just don't have the imagination, is not working well. So one of the things that gets developed in our environment is you start to learn how to have conversations with yourself about what you want out of your life, and you give yourself permission to do that. It's okay, and it's supportive. And you know, we don't tell people what they should want in our profession. People can decide whatever it is they want. And so part of it is to just get that imagination muscle working. And then the second one is when you start to think about the things that you want, it's the attitude that you have about achieving it, which, you know, you might call a positive attitude or confidence. But, you know, it's really important to develop that art and that skill of when you decide you want something, learning to believe that you can have it. And that is a conversation that you have with yourself that sounds like, I'm worth it, I can do it, I can learn it, I have plenty of help, other people have done it before me, you know, this is a process, I'm gonna get it done. So if you take those two components there, I would wrap those into what I call vision and self-motivation. And so the number one soft skill, I believe, is to develop the art of being able to have a conversation with yourself that turns on green lights for yourself so that you can see life full of possibilities and you see yourself in pursuing those possibilities with at least probabilities, like it's probable that you're going to be successful. And when you develop the art of that conversation, you jump on opportunities. And
when we did your workshop, there were a lot of exercises, a lot of things we went through. Is there an action step or an exercise that listeners tonight can, you know, they can put into place immediately, or they can get started on it so that they can really start moving forward? Because I think that's such a huge piece in the whole success paradigm.
Yeah, it's like a simple first step is just to exercise that imagination muscle. So, you know, if I was your personal trainer and you came to the gym and you said, you know, I want to get stronger in this area, the imagination area, I would say, okay, we're going to go to this machine, or we're going to pick up this weight and we're going to lift it this way. So the exercise would be, you know, on your computer or piece of paper or whatever, just sit down and do some contemplative thought. And the question to ask yourself is, what do you want out of life? What do you want for yourself? What do you want for your own physical health? And describe it. Write those things down. And notice as you write them down, notice the conversation that comes with them. And make some notes. So if you write down, you know, I want to have, you know, an extraordinary body, I want to have a fit body, write down next to it, what is the thought, the opinion you have about your ability to do that? And that'll kind of tell you what kind of green or yellow or red light you have around your fitness. And you can do the same thing with your emotional health. If there's something about your emotional stability, your emotional health that you want to develop, write it down. But the exercise is in imagination, so there's no rules. You write down anything you want. So if you want to work less, write it down. If you want to retire early, write it down. If you want to work less and earn more, write it down. If you want to go to Disneyland, write it down. If you want to, you know, buy a sailboat and sail around the world, write it down. If you want to become a pilot, write it down. Write everything down. And just do a complete, like, workout of your imagination and your ambition. And then the next exercise would be just get clear next to each one of those items. Is that a green light, a yellow light, or a red light? And then the third piece of the exercise is, to whatever degree you have a yellow or a red light on anything you want to accomplish, then that would be like you have this little nagging voice that says, you can't do that. You've tried it before. It didn't work. Nobody knows done it, whatever. So write down what that little conversation is. And then this is a fact, and so you have to believe in this fact to do the third exercise. But the fact is, whatever opinion you have about you being able to do something you want to do, fact is, you made that up. That is an opinion that you developed over time. And you may have evidence to back it up, but the fact is, the evidence came after the opinion as a self-fulfilling prophecy. So when you were 2 years old, I'll bet if I asked you about being a pilot, you wouldn't say, oh, I'm not smart enough to do that, or you wouldn't have an opinion like that. You know, just reflect on kids. Anything is possible to kids. Mm-hmm. And the older we get, the more educated we get, that for us, not everything is possible. In fact, hardly anything is possible. So we just create all these red lights. So the third part of the exercise is, if you can accept the fact that you made up the yellow or red light, the exercise is to make up a green light. Just make it up. Realizing that you don't believe it yet, but there is a process to learning to believe something you make up. So the third piece of the exercise is write down something that would empower you to believe that you could accomplish this thing. So if you wrote down, I want to become a pilot, and next to it you have this conversation that sounds like I'm not smart enough, the third part of the exercise is to write down, you can learn anything. Mm-hmm. I can learn anything. And, you know, it's not as simple as all of that. As you know, Pam, there's work to do, but that's a place to get people started.
Well, I love that exercise, and it is a simple one to do, and I think it gets more and more powerful the more that you do it and the more that you exercise that imagination muscle. And I mentioned before we went into record mode that blissbusiness.com has numerous free resources, and I encourage all of you to go to the website, because why not take the free stuff, right? I'm all about the free stuff. Go there, check it out, because yeah, I spent over $100,000 becoming a lawyer, Richard, and my return on investment has not nearly been as great as it has been in network marketing on a lot of different levels, not just financial, but also, you know, in the connections and the great friends and all of the things that happen. And I want to respect everyone's time. I promised Richard that I would only take 30 minutes of his time. I know there are a lot of questions, and one that seems to keep coming up for people, and this is, I promise, my last one, is that you wanted to quit so many times, or for people that want to quit, they see it as like, it's hard, it's challenging, it's too much for me, I haven't exercised that muscle enough. What is one thing you would say to them, Richard, that would, you know, either kept you from quitting, that you can share, that they can take forward into their business?
Well, I was fortunate in that I had really good coaching in the beginning, and you know, avoiding the decision to quit is as simple as being present to what you want out of success in the business, and whether or not what you want out of success in the business is more important to you than what you're going to get out of quitting. So anytime you and I make a decision, we are weighing our options. And just think of it like a scale. On one side of the scale is quitting. And the only reason that somebody would consider quitting is there's pay value there. There's benefit there. There's something there they want. So what do you want by quitting? Well, what I wanted by quitting was to stop the pain, stop the suffering, stop the brutality, stop the insanity. I wanted peace. I wanted my old life back. And why was that? Because my old life didn't have any ambition tied to it. It was safe. It was comfortable. It was easy. And so as people are in the gestation period of building this business, it's, you know, for some people it is easy and it's fun right out of the box, and that's really just an attitude thing. But for other people, like for me, it wasn't easy at all. I didn't have the right attitudes. I really struggled with the mental game. And so the idea of quitting, you know, felt good. There was juice there. And what kept me in the business was I was coached and trained to pay attention at all times to what I wanted out of the business. Whenever I was considering quitting, as our friend Jordan Adler says, don't ever quit on a bad day. And if you don't ever quit on a bad day, you're probably going to stay on track. And the way I would interpret what Jordan has to say is, don't ever quit without weighing clearly your options. And one is how it's going to feel to quit, and the other is how it's going to feel to succeed. And if you can honestly say that even if I was successful, how I would feel about that success does not feel as good to me as how it would feel for me to quit, then I would coach you to quit. Because I don't think anyone should do network marketing. I don't think anybody should make an extra $500 a month or $5,000 a month. I don't think anybody should become a better person. I don't think anybody, the only thing I think people should do is whatever they want to do.
Yes.
And I think the challenge when people go to quit is the only option that they're considering is how it's going to feel to quit. And so if that's the only option, they take it. And so, you know, as coaches, like, you know, preventing people from quitting is equally as much our job as it is the person who's considering quitting. When you notice somebody might be thinking about quitting, our job as a coach is to get in front of them and ask them the simple question, Pam, why did you choose to do this to begin with? Why did you get involved in Isagenix to begin with? What were you looking for? What did you want out of it? And then they say, well, you know, I wanted an extra $1,000 a month. What were you going to do with it? I was going to pay off all my debts. How many debts do you have? You know, whatever, $15,000 a month in debt. How much are you paying every month in interest, which is just literally putting money in the garbage disposal, flushing it right down the toilet. You might as well just stop by the bank every month and hand whoever owns the bank the money. It's just blowing it. You know, how does it feel to be blowing that kind of money? And how will it feel when you're totally debt-free? And when you're totally debt-free, what are you going to do with $1,000 a month? Well, then I'd like to, you know, save it for my kid's college education. Well, how's it going to feel to be able to send your kid to college versus not? And guide people to consider how it's going to feel to succeed. And then they can weigh that against how it's going to feel to quit. You know, that's part of our job. And some people may say, well, how do I know somebody's thinking about quitting? Just look at their actions. I'll guarantee you, nobody's ever considered quitting that just sponsored a couple of people.
That's right.
Or got some new customers. They're not thinking about quitting. The only people that are thinking about quitting are the people that have blanked for the last 90 days.
You're right.
And they are certainly thinking about quitting. I guarantee they're thinking about quitting. Mm-hmm. So look at
exactly.
Your
when you're in action, it's a different story altogether.
Yeah. So the quickest cure for being in a funk is to partner up with somebody who's not in a funk, either by phone or Skype or text or physically, and go do something. Go do something that can produce a result. And it's one of the magical things about this business is we have all these partners that are at our disposal. And they're free. We don't have to pay them. And there's plenty of them that are on fire. So when you get in a funk, call up somebody that's on fire and say, hey, I'm in a funk. I've blanked. Partner with me. Talk to me. Coach me. Show me. Go with me. Somebody will take you by the hand and lift you up. And it's just a magical, magical thing about our business model.
Well, the other magical thing is that we have people like you to come on and to spend your time, just give your time to us to go through, you know, more than 40 years of experience and help us grow and build our business. Whether you're financially linked on same team, same company, we're all united in the same profession. And Richard, you are definitely a beacon of integrity, and you're very funny as well. I didn't even bring up Super MLM Man because I didn't want to get distracted by that, because I laugh my ass off every time I watch that. So, you know, again, that's another resource. So blissbusiness.com, guys. Right now, there's a handful of quizzes you can take on motivation, on listening, on helping people. There's presentations you can share with your team. You know, Richard mentioned, if you feel like you're in a bit of a funk, now's a great time to grab a hold of some of those resources, get together with your team, your friends, help them through this as well. The best way to learn is to teach and to go through some of these incredible resources. So once again, thank you so much, Richard. I'm going to stay tuned and make sure I'll be sharing the next vision workshop with the team. So stay tuned for that. If you're interested in learning more about what that looks like, it'll be in our newsletter and you'll see me post about that. But again, I encourage you, these resources are either free or so inexpensive that it's criminal not to get them and to make sure that you're using them and putting them into action. So once again, Richard, thank you for your time. Please give a big hug to Kimmy, and I will try to twist her arm to come on a call with us very soon as well, because she has so much to offer, and I'm looking forward to it.
She would do that. She would do it in a heartbeat for you and Kevin. We love you guys. You're pillars of our profession, building it right, building it big, just incredible servant leaders. Your team is so fortunate to have your leadership and your love, and we're happy to support you out of friendship and admiration anytime. Carry on the good fight.
Absolutely. I appreciate that. Thanks again, everyone. Have a wonderful week, and this will be posted on our podcast channel. I'll make sure everyone has access to it. Thanks again, Richard. Have a wonderful evening.
Night.
Bye.